Tommyknocker Tapes. My name is Michael Bouchard, and I'll be your host. Today on the podcast, I have with me Sylvia Gregory, who's a casting director here out of Denver, Colorado, and the head of Sylvia Gregory Casting. She has tons of experience casting, not simply film, but also theater. She's got some orchestra casting under her belt. I'm looking at her resume. She's got dance company casting under her belt. She's worked with major companies like Coors, Southwest Airlines, Honda, Duracell, Jenny Craig, King Soopers, Allstate, AAA. She's all over the board. And she's also the casting director for the Colorado Shakespeare Festival and the local theater company here in Colorado. She's been casting associate at the Denver Center Theater Company, Denver Center Attractions, and Colorado Theater Works. She's everywhere. In this podcast, I'll be shocked if there isn't information that even the most veteran theater artists can't take and learn from. So without further ado, let's get to it. All right, so I am here with Sylvia Gregory. Hi, Sylvia.
Hi, Michael.
And I guess I just wanted to hop right in by asking a simple question. What is it exactly that a casting director does? What is your job, actually?
My job is I bring talent to directors and producers. So my job is I am given specs and a breakdown, and my job is to go out and find people who fit that, usually as many people as I can per role. Those right. are brought in for what's called a pre-read audition for on-camera and just a first audition or a general for stage. Usually that's just me, and I then weed through if it's on-camera and posting, and the client is watching those videos in New York, L.A., wherever they are. Then they select who they want to call back. Sometimes they ask me for my opinion. Sometimes they don't. And then at the callback, usually the client is in charge of who's booking it. For on-camera stuff, very much it's the client's call.
Okay.
They know their demographic a lot better than I do. They know their target audience
right.
a lot better than I do, their market, all of that. For stage, sometimes I have a little more input, but it really depends on the show.
Okay.
So really my job, after all that, my job is to... is to put talent in front of my clients, mm-hmm. who are often directors or producers or ad agency people, so that they can find the person who fits best for what they're working on.
All right, so as a casting director, because I know as an actor, my feelings of the differences between film and stage are kind of, you know, all about how I speak or how much I move my eyes or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
What is the difference that you as a casting director see between theater and film? Or is it the same? Is there overlap?
Okay, I think that it's about, as an actor coming in, it's about where you pitch your energy. I think I like to think of it as a stage actor should have their energy in their heart or their chest,
uh-huh.
and a film actor should have it in their eyes. Boiled down into a very, very basic.
Perfect. That's so. That's exactly what I'm looking for. So then, I know you and Sam as well teach audition classes.
Yes.
Because that is a skill in and of itself.
It is a whole different set of muscles.
Right. So, do you have any sort of bundled thoughts on the way in which one would approach a film audition as opposed to a stage audition and vice versa?
I think preparation can be very similar for both.
Mm-hmm.
I think what you really need to do is you need to know your dialogue as well as you can. You need to be able to get your eyes up off the page as much as you can for
right.
anything that you're given. You need to know the basic rules of Stanislavski. You need to know... what it is your character wants, what it is that's standing in your character's way, and what is it that your character's doing to get what they want. You need to make those choices for everything you're given, whether it's copy for a commercial all the
mm-hmm.
way to a Broadway musical, whatever it is. You need to know those things, basics.
Is there something in... because I know for a musical theater audition, for example, some of the things that might get swung at you that you're not used to is, you know, someone might ask... do you have another song with you or another selection? Do you have another monologue? And so it's always good to have those in your back pocket. What's kind of like a weird curveball that you can prepare for that would be in a film audition?
I have seen directors ask actors for monologues in film auditions.
Really?
Auditions for an actual film that I was casting. And the director just wanted to, the sides were short and it was, you know, it was film acting, the scenes were short, and the director just wanted to get more of a sense from a couple actors, and he asked them if they had any monologues they could do. And two of the three of them did not and were completely thrown by that. And
right.
the third one did. And he was like, yeah, okay, there's some language in it, but here it comes. So I think, like you said, anytime you have a repertoire in your back pocket, whether it's songs or monologues, or even if you know some commercial copy that you can rattle off. It can't hurt to have it.
What is something that an actor can do in an audition that isn't acting related? So knowing what you want and all those acting techniques is all good. What's something they can do that has nothing to do with the performance element that can help land them a role?
Well, if you're good at schmoozing, I think that helps. I think warm eye contact is good. Saw an actor come in once for a commercial I was casting. It was a SAG commercial, Screen Actors Guild commercial, several years ago. And this actor came in, and the director, it was callbacks, and the director had said to me, "Hey, was that actor in such and such type? I think I worked with him before." And I was like, "Oh, yeah, he was." So then the actor was waiting. I went out to the waiting room, and I said, "Just so you know, that this director knows you. And he says he worked with you on this project."
Right.
And the actor's like, "Oh, thanks, okay." So the actor came in, and he just played it beautifully. He came in, and he walked past the table where everyone was sitting, and he kind of looked at the director and looked away, and then he kind of looked back at the director with a quizzical look in his eye, but shook his head a little, and went to his spot, and he, you know, we did his slate and everything, and then the director started talking, and the actor looked at him and said, "Wait a minute, I worked with you," and he totally turned it around, and the director was like, "Yeah, man, that's right," booked it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Booked it, yeah. So it was acting in a way.
Absolutely.
But it wasn't about the copy
right.
at all. It was about how he worked at the room.
Oh, that's great.
It was really well done.
That's hilarious. That's jujitsu.
It was great.
Now, you've kind of touched on these next two questions a bit already. You said like the focus of a film audition should be kind of that the film actor should be behind the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Is there another piece of advice for let's say a stage actor auditioning for film that you would tell them before going into a film audition?
Yes. Sit on your hands.
Sit
on your hands.
Cool.
Because yeah. stage actors do a lot of, and on
we're
stage,
all half Italian.
It totally works, you know, and on film it looks like semaphore acting.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want your energy in your arms waving about or expressing, you know, whatever you're expressing with your hands. You want it coming out of your eyes.
Okay.
And so it's odd to sit on your hands, you know, maybe you just put them between your knees or something, but
right.
something so that you're not using them. So all your energy is coming out of your face.
Right.
Your eyes.
Then on the flip side of that, what would you tell a film actor coming to the stage?
Fill your space. Fill the space. So film actors are used to auditioning with a microphone right in front of them or with a camera 6 feet away that has a really high-powered mic.
Mm-hmm.
And film actors talk like this, and they can totally get away with it. They're like, what? In fact, a lot of film actors, if you watch, they talk like, they just whisper all their... They whisper everything. It's like, what? So they're used to that. So I think for a film actor going into audition for a play, if you're in a rehearsal room or if you're on a stage or if you're in an amphitheater, whatever the space is you're in, you need to try and fill it with your energy. And that's where the chest energy comes in. That's where having your energy be near your heart, it can kind of... This sounds very hippy-dippy, and I don't mean it to be, but you can kind of radiate it out to fill your space because you're not just filling it vocally, you're filling it with your size, your physical presence.
Right.
And that's all about your energy being in your center.
The other bit of auditioning that's very, very important is headshots and resumes. What's some advice that you could give? Because I've seen a lot of crazy headshots in my day, and I'm sure you've probably seen infinitely more. Was in your mind a good headshot? What does it do, and how might it look? And then should a resume be broken down that is sort of most helpful, I guess?
Okay, well, just basically, headshot is 8x10, and they're color. They're color now, yeah. If I get a headshot that's black and white, I'm like, this person probably hasn't had a picture made or been working since the 80s.
Right.
So I really see...
My first headshots are black and white in the 80s, yeah.
I see that as being very dated, so it's not a positive thing in my eyes if I get a black and white headshot.
Good to know.
Your name should be on your headshot as well as on your resume. We lay out, even for commercial stuff, we lay pictures out on the floor, we make family groupings, we make couples, we make friends. And if your name isn't on your picture and we're constantly having to flip it over, we're going to get annoyed and you're going to go into the backup pile. So don't annoy us. Get your name on your picture. And otherwise, you know, there's a horizontal or vertical, and I don't think that really matters. That's personal preference. Borders and all that's personal preference. I don't think any of that stuff matters. Your picture should look like you. It shouldn't be a glamour shot. It shouldn't be covered in Vaseline. You know, it should look like you on a really good night. It should look like you going out to a club or a restaurant or to see a show. or to go to church or whatever. That's how that's how your headshot should look.
Okay.
If you're a very specific character type, you can have also a headshot done as that character.
Oh, I see.
But I don't know that you would use that much in Denver.
Right.
Resumes, basically, the formatting should line up. They should be easy to read. Most of the resumes that I get are just impossible to read.
Is it because the font is too small?
It's not necessarily that, although, you know, that's where my cheaters come in handy. But but do keep in mind that a lot of people you're auditioning for are in the older end of things, and so we do need glasses, and our eyes are not as young as they once were. But no, it's really about the columns lining up, so it's easy to see. It's nice and clean. It should look professional. Please don't put your home address on your resume, ever. Mm-hmm. Not for acting. You don't need to list every director you've ever worked with, only the ones that are really prominent in your market.
Okay.
And that way we will see them. Otherwise, they just get lost.
Right.
So it's about don't bury if you've worked on Broadway, you don't want to bury it 10 deep.
Yeah.
You know, you want to be at the top, even if it was years ago. So really, the basic for our resumes is just make them so that we can see the information we need to see, so it isn't buried. Nice
okay.
and clean, well formatted.
What, of all the thousands of auditions that you've seen, what is one very common mistake, sort of easily fixable, that you wish more actors knew about so they would stop doing that?
A lot of actors come in thinking they're more prepared than they are.
Ah.
And I hear a lot when people are leaving the room, I knew that. I thought I knew that at home. I think it's not preparing enough. I think actors, you need to over-prepare. You need to know your copy. You need to know it cold. And if you got it the night before, you still need to know it.
Right.
Because everybody else got it the night before, too, and they're going to know it.
Right.
So I see actors who come in and shoot themselves in the foot because there's so little control in auditions. That's one thing you can control is how prepared you are. And I see actors come in and they just, I've seen actors lose jobs because, like, actors we were going to hire come in and they're not prepared. And we're like, we can't hire them. They don't know it. So it's knowing it better than you think you need to. Yeah.
So another question that I'd want to know is of the best actors you've hired, what do you think? And this is on stage or film. What are the tips and tricks that they used that you would give to other actors? What are the habits that made them really stand apart?
Discipline.
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 What do you mean?
Well, I would say stage actors who are successful spend 1 to 3 hours a day with their script every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day. You have to make yourself sit down and do that. There's no one there to do it.
Right.
So you need to be disciplined enough to do that. And for film, they're long hours. You have to be on set, often just sitting and waiting for hours at a time, and then you have to be mentally ready to jump up and work when they're ready for you. They're not going to wait around for you unless you're a big star.
Right.
So it's the discipline of keeping your energy low while you're waiting so that you can use the energy when you need it on camera.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So it's kind of zen out while you're off so that you can really bring it when you're back.
Correct.
Because it could be a long wait.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of actors are all, they put a lot of weight on every audition.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's a healthy thing for an actor to have kind of like a, I walk in, I do my damnedest, and then I flush it and I leave? Kind of, so that you keep a mental stability.
Well,
about you.
Sure, but that's so hard to do. I mean,
right.
You know, I was an actor 100 years ago, and I couldn't do that.
Right.
And for me, it was the roller coaster of, you know, the highs of a good audition and the lows of a bad audition. I found that to be crazy. For me, crazy making. Some people just can't leave it behind. So what I recommend people do is not make the audition the only thing special that they're doing that day or the
mm-hmm.
only thing unique to that day that they're doing. You know, if you've driven into the city for your audition, then maybe stick around and go have dinner at a restaurant or go see a ball game or just go to one of the parks and enjoy a walk in the park or do something so that it's not just about the audition. You have something after the audition to look forward to. Kind of helps you decompress a little bit. It's like, well, the audition didn't go well, but then I had a really great ice cream at that place, or whatever,
yeah.
You know. Or I finally got to go, or I saw a friend I haven't seen in a long time. And that
mm-hmm.
sort of makes your day less all-encompassing about just the audition. Evens it out a little.
Yeah. Because the numbers, I assume, just the numbers of how many people aren't getting a gig every time are just so large.
Huge.
The odds that you're going to come in and book every single thing that you do are
vanishingly small.
Yeah, and you won't. And some people actually go through phases where they book it seems like they're booking everything. When I started casting, there was an actress who I think really did book like everything I did for like a year. She was booking everything, and Now she's not booking. And it may be, you know, she's reached a certain age. It may be that her look has left the trend, you know. So actors kind of go up and down, you know. It's sort of, you book a lot, then you don't, then you do, then you don't. So you have to kind of recognize also it's not about you. It's seldom about you. If you're not prepared, it's about you.
Yes, right.
You haven't made any choices, it's not about you. It is about you. But I think usually it's, you know, you're matching other people. They're bringing in half the cast from L.A. You know, you look like the director's ex-wife and he can't stand her. You know, it's seldom actually about you. So that might help you be able to kind of flesh it a little bit. But that's really hard to do, I think.
What skills or subjects outside of the theater proper do you believe or think might be beneficial for an actor to pick up and to learn or to study to sort of aid their craft in a sense?
Mm-hmm. Almost anything, I guess. really, I mean, you just never know when you're going to be called upon to do anything in this crazy thing. But I do think that overall, a knowledge of history, a knowledge of theology. I'm speaking more for stage right now than I am really for on camera.
Mm-hmm. A knowledge of theology.
Theology, yeah. When I was studying classical theater, mm-hmm. I had grown up with grandparents who were missionaries, and so I knew the Bible pretty well. And I found that so useful when I got into Shakespeare. There's so many references that if I didn't know, I would have been like, what?
Right.
So I think theology for anything you're doing that's classical is very helpful. History is just helpful across the board. History going up until current events.
Sure.
I mean, all history. I think anything you're doing where you're in front of people, debate club, bell choir, anything, playing in a band, is good. I think if you can take some classes in being an assistant or, you know, being a secretary or being someone who works for someone who has to have a lot of different bosses, I think temp work is very good to hone your acting skills because you're constantly working with new people who you don't know what they like, you don't know what they want, you're having to adapt to what they're telling you to do.
Yeah.
That's a great job for actors to learn from.
That's a good thing, as I suspect a lot of actors have had temp work at some
point.
You think
they do? Yeah.
They may.
Yeah.
Well, right on. Well, Sylvia Gregory, thank you so much for sitting down with me and chatting.
Thank you.
And thanks to all of you for listening. I'd like to once again thank Sylvia Gregory for being such an awesome guest. And I want to mention that the theme music for the Tommy Knocker Tapes is generously provided by the band Forebear, who, if you like what you hear, you can find more at forebear.la. See what comes after.